Welcome to the Country Confidential Podcast. Our goal is to learn new things about the people behind the music and the artists who make it. If you love country music, you're going to love the Country Confidential Podcast. Here's your host, Shiloh Bellis.
Jason Blaine on the Country Confidential Podcast this week. Jason, you're in Nashville, right? And Nashville is now open. Like, it's like nothing ever happened. It must be so interesting, scary, exciting. How are you feeling about that?
Well, of course. I mean, personally, I'm happy about it. It's like a little glimmer of hope that we might be getting to the other side of this thing finally. And, you know, it's, you just hope that everybody's making the right decisions and the right calls on every level. And, you know, my hope has always been that they wouldn't either keep us locked down or keep us in masks or anything like that any longer than is like absolutely necessary, like based on, you know, the best, you know, intel from the scientists and everything. Right. So, but we've been doing the thing. Our family has always been following all the guidelines and doing all the stuff. And, but it, I can tell you, man, it was pretty grim in Nashville for a long time, you know, like to see Nashville lose some of the prominent music venues that have been here for decades. Some of the places I've played that didn't make it. One in particular, one is Douglas Corner. It's a great songwriting, and showcase or performance venue. I played countless times and, they didn't seem to make it, and so many others, you know, but it's nice to see Nashville finally coming back to life and live music coming live again. It's just hopeful.
So how long before you actually go to a packed bar, and how are you going to feel the first time?
Well, man, you can go now. They're all open, and, I've received my first vaccination a couple weeks ago, so yeah. I'd feel fine. I'd feel fine, honestly, going out again now. I think, like a lot of most in my experience, most people have had their first shot or they're fully vaccinated, and a lot of people have actually had, you know, had it down here. So
yeah,
so yeah, I mean, I would feel okay about it, but I still understand anybody who might want to be a little more cautious.
You mentioned songwriters' rooms and things. You spent a ton of time in those over the years. Do you remember the first time that you were in a songwriter, like in Nashville, where like you actually played a songwriter's room or round or something?
Yes. One of the first times I played was with my old friend Victoria Banks, and she invited me out to the Bluebird Cafe, and I guess that was probably maybe 10 years ago or even more. And it was surreal because, you know, that's the room that Garth Brooks got sort of discovered in and Taylor Swift. And there's just so much history there. Don Swift is there all the time, you know, and he's kind of a mainstay of that place. He wrote The Gambler and Tony Arata, you know, that's where Garth Brooks saw Tony Arata play the dance for the first time. So, that was a very memorable experience for me.
And you got to hang out with Victoria Banks, which can't be any fun at all.
Yeah, and become friends, and you know, and we don't get to hang and write all the time, but like all good friendships, when you do get together, you pick up right where you left off, and it's a lot of laughs and a lot of fun, and we always get a good song.
We're gonna talk about your new single in a second, but what I'm always fascinated about, and I think I'm gonna put you on the spot, but what are some Jason Blaine songs that people might not know are Jason Blaine songs? Like, what I mean is songs that you've written for other people, because your catalog, just that alone, is pretty impressive.
Sure. Well, I've been really fortunate to get to do that. You know, I love writing songs, and I love writing songs with and for other people, you know, as an aside to my own career, because in the course of a year, you write, you know, dozens and dozens of songs, and, you know, if you're lucky, you might get one song out to radio or two, or sometimes three. We used to get three out to radio in a year, so you got all these songs that just, you know, would exist otherwise only on your computer, on your MacBook or something, and so it's always great when songs get a life, right? Can get out there into the world and actually get heard. And then you can actually get paid for the, you know, your creation. That's as this is a wonderful, wonderful thing. So songs of mine that people might not know, especially the girl songs, right? Madeline Merlot has recorded three songs that I've had a hand in writing or co-writing. And the first one is a song that you guys played out there called Over and Over.
See, I did not know that you were part of that, right?
That's yeah, cool. There you go. Well, that's what kind of started the relationship between me and Madeline. We didn't really know each other before that, not super well. We'd met at the CCMAs and stuff in passing, but I had wrote a song with a guy named Jeff Pardo early into my publishing deal with Curb Word Publishing in Nashville, and we wrote this song. It was the first song we wrote, called Over and Over. And I guess Madeline's people had reached out to various publishers looking for songs for her. And my publisher had pitched that song when it was me singing the demo. So it was really cool that Madeline heard it, you know, for herself, heard it, you know, for a female version. And she killed it. She did such a great job. Matt Roby produced. Matt Roby produced all the Dean Brody stuff. Did a great job. And then, you know, that became a hit, a top 20 hit in Canada. Beautiful video. And then she reached back out to do some more writing. And the very next thing we wrote was Neon Love. And we was me and Madeline and Jeff. And that's become one of our biggest songs to date. And taken on a cool life of its own. And people are always surprised to learn that I'm a co-writer on that one.
I knew that. But I got to tell you, that song gets stuck in my head every time. So... you know, good on you for that, because that's the goal, right? You want to get people, you want to get that earworm, and that one does it for sure. So
yeah, and I'll tell you the real quick story on that is that Madeline came in with, it's cool how songs shape up sometimes. I always have a list of titles like in my iPhone in my notes that, you know, if I think of something, I'll just take a second to talk it into my phone or text it into my phone, and I just kind of keep stacking them up, and then when I have a write, we start throwing titles out to each other. So I had a title that I was planning on bringing into the room that day, and Madeline actually walked in and said, you know, guys, is this something? She's like, this has just been stuck in my head all morning. Drunk girls in the bathroom acting like they're best friends, talking boyfriends, and just this kind of rappy, rhythmic phrase. And I thought, just like you said, you know, it gets stuck in your head. I thought that's a hilarious, that's a great thing. My wife used to work in a bar way back in the day that I played at with my band way back in the day and around the Kitchener area. And there would always be drunk girls crying in the bathroom. And it was always sort of drama that she would tell me about. So I knew that there was something to that. And then I said, well, I think I actually have a title that goes with that, Neon Love. And then Jeff pulled up this cool groove. And before you know it, we had this song. And so really cool. One of my favorite things is to see like videos on social media, you know, or that Madeline would post from stage, and then like thousands and thousands of girls singing along to this song at a country festival, you know, and chanting those lyrics. And, you know,
so cool.
That is so cool. That's, you know, when you see that happen, when you see a song take on that life, that's what keeps you hooked into doing it, being creative.
Sometimes you got to keep one or two for yourself as well. And your new single is just such a cool vibe to it. Like that's what I, you know, people want me to, hey, what do you think of the new Jason Blaine? I'm like, it has a cool vibe to it. That's how I feel. What do you, how you feeling about the song so far? It's doing well.
Yeah, thank you. Well, you know, it's every week, you know, it's really early yet too in the life of a single. And every week I'm getting my reports for my radio promotions team, and the comments are all good. They're saying what you're saying. Like everybody's loving the vibe, mm-hmm. and there's a lot of great music to be added at radio.
Play the damn song, right? Like you can like the vibe,
we just need somebody to jump on it, but. Because all of the feedback is so, so good. I haven't been so excited, in a minute for something. And I'm just waiting for some people to start jumping on it. And I think that they will here in the next week or two, because they're saying what you're saying. They're like, this feels good. It feels mm-hmm. good for summer. People are kind of coming out of this whole doom and gloom past year, and they're looking for some positive energy. And that was my motivation for the song, too. It's like, you know, music should serve a purpose, you know, and it's not always it doesn't always have to be deep or like some sort of a, you know, message or something. Although I'm glad to have a couple of those songs too that are heartfelt and give you the feels and things like that. But, you know, ultimately music should also just make you feel good. You know, a good song comes through the speakers and brightens your day, puts a smile on your face, makes you think about that special someone, lifts your mood. I mean, that's music throughout, across all time, across all cultures, you know, from the drums of Africa to the Delta blues, whatever. It's always been a source of healing and comfort and to lift our spirits. So hopefully that's what this song does for people.
I love the fact that you still look at the radio reports. That's such a cool artist experience that I'm glad you've never lost that, where you still like to look and see. Can you remember the first time you ever heard yourself on the radio? I was chatting with an artist about that last week, and we were talking about how crazy it is. And I know that was, you know, not dating you, but that was quite a while ago for you. But do you still remember?
Oh, absolutely. I don't think you could ever forget. My first song was actually a song called "That's What I Do." And it was one of a handful of songs among the first songs I had ever written and, you know, had professionally demoed. And I used the song to enter a talent contest that was a CMT. It became the CMT Discovery Contest. And the song was a solo, right, Shiloh? I wrote it myself and won the contest with it. And Tom McKillop produced it in Toronto and did a great job of it. And the song went top 10. And I think, truthfully, it went to like 8 on whatever the chart was at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And did really, really well. But, you know, I had, Shiloh, it was so funny. I was so broke. I had no money. I spent kind of I racked up a credit card to compete in the contest and fly around to the different things and go out to Calgary for Country Music Week. And you know, I was just playing clubs at the time in cover bands as a side guitar player, actually. I was playing electric guitar for a bunch of other people, just making, surviving a few hundred dollars at a time on a weekend. And so here I was playing this bar called the Brantford Rodeo, a divey little country bar, smoky, dingy, you know, bar in Brantford that we played all the time. And the cups were, I remember it so vividly, because the beer glasses were always stinky. Like they wiped them out, like they dried them with a stinky towel or something. You just hold your nose and drink and get you through the weekend, you know. And I was, it was a Saturday afternoon, and you have to play a matinee there. And I just had to get out of that dark bar on a Saturday and just get out in some sunshine. And I went out in my car and I started up the car because it was hot and I needed the AC on, and I turned the car on and on comes my song.
Oh,
and
man,
what that did for me that day to lift my spirits and just fill me with a sense of like, things are possible. I'm on the radio, man. This is so amazing. I'm coming through the airwaves. And I've been hooked ever since.
All of a sudden, the beer glasses didn't matter, right? You're just like, man, that's the best beer. It's the best beer I've ever had.
Yeah, best dang stinky beer ever.
I mean, and that's such a great, that was one of my, I still is probably one of my favorite songs. And I don't think I realized that was your first. And that's, how do you follow? I mean, you obviously followed it up with a lot of other ones, but man, that must've been so daunting coming back with the second after that one did just so damn well, you know?
Yeah. And it was so different. Like, so what's really unique and really interesting is that I guess it's no different for people like Kenny Chesney and, you know, I'm not putting myself in those categories, but Tim McGraw and those guys, like, how don't you find it interesting how the lyrical content and subject matter for songs has changed over the years? That was the era of story songs, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Country music, where you could just tell a third person story.
Yeah, like, I mean, you think of like, I don't know if it was the same time, but like Clay Walker, Chain of Love, and like all of those songs. Yeah, you know, like those. You're right.
Yeah, and don't take the girl, yeah. And it's just like, you know, Johnny's daddy was taking him fishing, and it's just, it tells you a story, and that's very much what I do was. It,
now,
and Holes in the Floor of Heaven was a bit of a story song, and
now,
I was always attracted to those kind of songs. Colin Ray. I remember one of the first songs I learned to play on guitar was Colin Ray, Love Me.
Made me cry every time. Every time when I was a kid, heard that song, came on the radio, and I was just, it's so, so good. It's such a, you're right.
It was just so beautiful, right? It's such a beautiful story. And I have several aunts that would, my dad's sisters and would make me play the song, and it'd make them cry. I'm like, why do you do this? why do you want me to make you cry with this dang song? Mm-hmm. But it's so funny, but like how country music has changed. We haven't had I can't think of anything like that in a long, long time. It's like that, there's not a lot of that. And I understand, generations change, the consumer, the ear mm-hmm. of the listener changes.
Now we just want to hear about drunk girls in the bathroom. That's where country, that's it, used to be all stories. Now it's just, you're right. No,
you're not wrong on that, because so my wife would be considered, your quintessential soccer mom, right? She's been a stay at home mom for all this time. We've lived in Nashville and we've got four kids, and she's busy and run the kids around and stuff. And she'll tell me she doesn't want to hear like a depressing song, but she wants to hear the drunk girls in the bathroom. She loves that song, or she'll crank up some Bruno Mars or something.
Yeah.
It's a far, women are different from the era of the Reba McEntire stuff. Like that great song, Is There Life Out There? Mm-hmm. So it was just like, my wife will turn that with, no disrespect to Queen Reba, who we love, mm-hmm. but she wants the uplifting songs, the cool songs.
And there's so many reasons for that, and we won't get into it because I could talk about this all day, because this is sort of how we kind of look at what to play on the radio, is what do people want to hear? What are they doing when they listen? And some of it is maybe there's just so much negativity that's so easily to get to now, right? Like, it's at your fingertips. You can go on Facebook, you can go on media, and you can, so the positivity has to be out there. But that's fascinating. It's so cool to hear from an artist. I mean, we talk about that a lot in radio, is what are people doing? What do they want to hear? What are they feeling? And what do they need from us?
Yeah.
And it's cool that you guys look at that too,
Yeah, and what's really neat, just being around, getting to do this career for a minute, is that, one of the guys that I've looked to in the past decade or so for inspiration, I just really appreciate John Mayer's music, and as a guitar player myself, I just really, think he's a master guitar player and songwriter, but he said something one time on an interview that really struck me. He said, I don't really think that artists dream past their third record. And I was like, wow, that's so true. That's so true. When you embark on a career, you set out and you go like, well, we're going to do this. I'm going to have this song about, getting out a fun driving, getting out of town song, or a fun party song, or maybe you have a drinking song, and then maybe you got a song for home or so, and then you get a little older, it's like, well, maybe I'll write a family song or a song about my first child being born, or my daughters or my grandparents, or this, or that. And then all of a sudden, you come to your third record, you're like, you go to write another one, you're like, holy crap, I've actually sung about all of those things. What's left?
Yeah. That's right.
What's left to say? And so with my new single, When I See You, that was the perfect combination for me, because I also think that too, Shiloh, you hear the same narrative on the radio. You kind of hear the people, we all do it. I mean, everybody, we write the same five songs, different ways and put them out. I mean, mm-hmm. there's just only so many things to think about, and then narrows down from there whenever you're just trying to write a positive, fun, tempo fun. So, but this one, I was like, wow, yes, this is a different way to say something. When I see you, it's like, it's not just about your physical beauty. It's like, I see the memories we've made together. I see the way, the way I feel when you're around. These are all these qualities that are beyond skin deep. How I feel about, in this case, my girl, when I see you. And then combine that with a fun, really vibey feel that comes out of the speakers. I was like, yeah, this has some just had some fun, but also some substance to it.
So you mentioned four kids at home during COVID. You must have found some very creative ways to use your space at your house.
Yeah, we, well, thank God for, you know, all of the media, right? You know, the kids are, you know, we broke all the rules and let them, you know,
oh yeah,
you know, veg out on our phones and Netflix and movies and just like whatever, like who cares? Throw the rule book out the window, you know, it's like we just need to survive, especially when we were really locked down. But we played, but then you know, they got bored of that, and we, you know, we played board games. We like literally pulled out some old board games with the younger ones, like with my little guy who's only four. Like we played all of the, you know, Chutes and Ladders, you know, that game. And mm-hmm. It was like we played that like crazy, and then we played Rubble, where you pop the bubble and with the dice and stuff. We played that one. That's a good throwback game. And then for my older one, my son who's in middle school down here, a little more intellectual game, we played the game of Risk, which is like,
so
that can,
how many days did that last? I know that's, I've never played Risk, because I'm not, maybe I'm not intellectual enough, I don't know, but I hear it lasts days.
Yeah, we've had 3-day games. We've had 3-day games, like, you know, during when we were super, and it was right around the, well, he got the game for Christmas, so over the Christmas holiday, like, we just stayed in our pajamas and played Risk, you know, and it was like, and then, you know, we about killed each other, my wife and I would get, I would get so mad, because, like, you know, my son and my wife are so much alike. He's so my wife's child in the sense that he's got such a good heart and but a competitive heart, but he's so dang lucky. That's a game of like skill and strategy, mm-hmm. but also luck.
Yeah.
And if you can't, you know, if you're like me and you can't roll the dice to save your life, then, I mean, this kid will just roll like six times.
And you're like, stop it, and you want to say something, but you can't. I can imagine, you know.
It's just a hilarious thing where it's like, you know, you're happy for him, but you also want to flip the whole table over and stomp away like you're four. You know?
Any of your kids in interested in music at all? Would you encourage them, knowing what you know now about how crazy this industry is? Would you ever encourage one of your kids to be like, yeah, you should try this?
Oh, sure. I mean, sure. But, My oldest daughter, I actually got to play guitar for her at her, at her last year of middle school, like concert recital. And she chose the song Rainbow by Kacey Musgraves.
Oh, wow.
And so, yeah, so I got to play, you know, sideman, backup guitar for my daughter. And it was a highlight of my life, honestly. I was so happy to be in that role and just watch her shine, and she crushed it. She did such a great job of the song. She does have a beautiful voice. She really, really does. And I don't know, like, if she really, I can't tell yet if she really has the fire and the drive, mm-hmm. and the determination that it would take to go all the way with it, because you really, really do. It's such a crazy competitive game, and you have to do a lot of the work yourself, especially these days. You mean you really have to get on to social media and use TikTok and use all of the platforms and build it yourself to attract.
Yeah, you really do. Yeah, probably yeah. one of the times you definitely didn't mind lugging gear. You know, you're going to be the side guy for your daughter. You're like, yeah, I got this. I'm good. You know.
Yeah, I really loved it, and that's a great song, and it was just the perfect song to her.
I almost want to meet your daughter at some point now, because I think anyone that age that chooses that song must be fascinating, because I love that song, but that is not a typical song that someone that age would choose. So good on her. That's cool.
Yeah. You know, I agree. And I was proud of that song choice. I love the message of that song. And, it's a smart song too. It's just beautiful, and she just did such a great job. And you know, my other daughter, she likes to sing too. She's young yet, she's eight, And I don't know, she's definitely we call her little Dolly Parton. She's definitely like marches to the beat of her own drum. She's dressed herself like in all this like wacky, she'll mix clothes and do like wacky things and like kind of set her own style. And she has a very, very unique, quirky voice too. Like, I don't know what it's going to become, but like, it's a very interesting voice. It sounds a little, a little silly right now, but it could actually be a very unique voice. I don't know what she's trying. I don't know what she's going for yet. She's like, she does this thing with her voice when she sings. Like, that's unique. So
that's crazy.
But no, I'll always encourage them to do whatever they want to do. But I would definitely, I think I would have a lot to offer in terms of advice and stuff, not in terms of like how to be successful, but how to go about it the right way. What to prioritize, and you know, in terms of being yourself and being true to yourself, and then doing things for the right reasons. I mean, I think regardless of the outcome, then you could, you know, they'll be able to hold their head high about it all.
And then obviously tell them that they're grounded unless they cut your songs, right? Like,
absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, what, you want to record? No, this is it. This is it. This is the only songs you guys can record. That's it. That's all.
Right.
I love that. Hey, Jason, good luck on the new single. And I would love to watch you flip the table over while playing Risk at some point. I just think that would be fantastic.
It's highly possible. It's a lot of fun. You know, I think that I'll end on this note and just say, like, it's been a really, really tough year and a half, you know, not being able to go and play shows and see my band and see the fans, which is, you know, what I love so much, and I really, really miss that. But on the other side of it, it's I'm sure that we'll all look back and all be grateful for this time, extra time that we've had with our kids and with our families.
I think you're right. When's the first gig? Do you have anything on the are you got anything planned with the band?
I do, as far as I know, and the only thing that's firm that we're holding on to is I do a charity golf tournament in my hometown, and last year would have been our seventh annual, so we'll still call it the seventh annual, and it's September 15th in my hometown. I'll drive, it's 1,000 miles door to door from my place here in Nashville back to Pembroke, Ontario, to raise money for local charities and stuff, and lift spirits this year. So September 15th, if all goes well, we'll be the first one.
Well, we look forward to it. Let's get the border open so you can come up here. Jason, thank you very much.
Thanks so much, Shiloh. Take care, pal.
This has been the Country Confidential Podcast. If you love the show, don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an episode. Have something you've always wanted to know about an artist or country music in general? Send Shiloh a note on Facebook. Join us next time for more confidential information about the best music on the planet and the people who make it.